venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet.
You're listening to All Skins, everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. I'm Wole and I'm your host, Will T. Left, and Ray Jeezy is out. Right now, I have Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report on the line. What's good, Adam?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Everything is good, man. I guess it's good, man. Trent Williams not traded. Josh Norman still on the team. Ryan Kerrigan still on the team. So I guess it's as good as it's going to get. It's going to get, right?
Pretty rock bottom right now.
I know, right? But Adam, yeah. Man, Adam, you have a blog. You have a blog called Washington's Dilemma and Not Rushing to Judgment on Haskins. Why do you think folks are rushing to judgment on Dwayne Haskins?
You know, I actually, before you know, we got on the phone tonight, I was actually looking at a Washington Post article, which I've been staying away from for the last couple of years, but I had to check it out. It just seems that the character bashing of Haskins is beyond what I've seen ever, especially for a Redskins quarterback. The narrative that he's not comprehending the playbook, he's not getting it, that all of a sudden they're saying he's working hard and that hasn't been the case all season. It just seems a little suspect to me. Mm-hmm. It just seems with, you know, especially with Jay Gruden, his agenda was not to be pushed with a rookie quarterback. He was fired. Callahan, a lot of people think, some people have been saying to me that their thoughts are, well, you know, he's doing what's best for the team and it's not necessarily a tryout for next year, but I don't buy it. I think both coaches were basically trying to save their neck, and it didn't involve Dwayne Haskins. And, you know, I just felt that I needed to write something to show that I think there's a lot more to this whole situation with Dwayne Haskins that we're not hearing. And, you know, the young man, I think, is being thrown under the bus.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen all around the league with, you know, undrafted quarterbacks like, you know, Gardner Minshew and, you know, all types of quarterbacks. And the whole narrative that they can't get him ready, they haven't tried.
Yeah.
He's come in relief and spot duty. And I think 30 career snaps, you have people that are calling him a bust. I've seen some bad things in Washington, some busts in Washington, but I don't even think we're close to seeing what he can possibly do. I think, you know, the whole point, the article I wrote is he needs to have an opportunity. Sitting on the bench is not a way he's going to be able to all of a sudden read defenses, you know, get the playbook, because bottom line, even if he quote unquote gets the playbook, it's going to be a whole nother one next year.
Yeah.
You know, the bottom line is getting him ready to play on the field. And the smart teams, like you have Baltimore, what they did with Jackson, you play to his strength and you get him ready. Like I've been saying, you know, shotgun is one way to get him going in RPO. And what I've just seen them trying to line him up in situations that just don't fit success, and I just felt that I needed to write something to defend the young man, because it's not even that I'm a Haskins homer.
Yeah.
Even before the draft, I had my 25th overall prospect.
Yeah.
Not 25th overall, 25th overall prospect to Washington.
Yeah.
And even then, I said he's going to need some time.
Yeah, you did.
But this
that.
Is a situation at 1-7 with horrible quarterback playing in front of him. People keep pointing to situations like, you know, Kansas City with Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. This is not that situation. We have a hurt quarterback and bad quarterback. Quarterback play with Keenum. You got to get him on the field somehow. So I don't know how there's, after all of this, there's still talk that Keenum is the starter when healthy. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but I think what they're doing is the wrong move.
You mentioned Bill Callahan. You're not sure what he's trying to do. What do you think he's trying to do? Because at the end of the day, you know, he's different from Jay. I think Jay wasn't looking at Haskins' best interest. But you look at Callahan, I don't know if he's trying to save a job. But what do you think he's trying to prove by not playing the kid?
What I never realized is how much dislike he has for Jay Gruden, because I think it's the way he is going about Colt McCoy. I'm not a full fan of Colt McCoy, but it seems like he's going out of his way to make us fans know that everything that Jay did was the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to the point now that everything he's doing is in spite of Jay, and yes, he wants to, you know, commit to the run and, you know, go old school football, which I don't really have a huge problem with. But I think the way he's going about it, and I wasn't convinced until this last game about KOC's influence. I am convinced now. I'm convinced that just like Jay Gruden, KOC is not getting the ability to call the plays. I think he has input, but I think just like Jay, Callahan is calling the plays, and it's a shame, and I really hope that changed, because we need to see what Kevin O'Connell has before we go into next season, because they're not going to have a lot of candidates to consider. And my God, if they consider Callahan a head coach from what we've been hearing, man, we're in worse trouble than we are now.
Well, I mean, only time will tell with Callahan. We don't. I mean, I'm just still waiting to see. But I'm like, you know, waiting to see when Dwayne gets to play in that aspect with Callahan. I want to see with those two together, those three with KOC too, if they can all work together. Because if you're gonna tell, if it's Jay and Callahan, I would rather have Callahan. I think Jay was totally had his own thing going. All right, and even what Callahan is doing with Colt, I don't have an issue with that. To be honest with you, nothing against Colt. I don't have an issue with it. I think it's supposed to be this route. It should have been this route the whole time. If you wanted Case to be the quarterback, Case should have been the quarterback. Case should be the quarterback, and your backup should be should have been Haskins. So it should have worked out that way anyway. You know what I mean? Like this Colt and play thing should have never been out there. Like never.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm gonna wait and see. When it comes to Callahan, I'm like, okay, this team has been more competitive under Callahan. That's one. But we all want to see the rookie, right? We just all want to see the rookie. It's about that time. Adam?
Hello?
Yeah, you still here, Adam?
Yeah,
yes, I'm with you. Yeah. I said it's about that time. We all want to see the rookie. It's about that time. We want to see Dwayne. Dwayne needs to be playing.
Right.
We all in agreement.
1-7.
Yeah, 1-7. You're not going anywhere. Like, you're not going anywhere. So, the whole, you know, let's wait until we're eliminated from the playoff contention. From playoff contention, the NFC East is weak, this, that, and the other. It doesn't matter. You're 1-7. Do the math. All right. We've all watched football for years. We know, all right, when you're 1-7, you're 1-7. You're not, chances are you're not going to have this miracle turnaround. Chances are you're going to finish, finish maybe 3-13, 4-12 at the best. Sorry.
Right. So, and that'll be on the back of the defense for the most part, because right now that's the only thing I've really seen any kind of visible change with Callahan's influences. I've definitely seen some better play from the defense, but as far as the offense goes, you know, they can ride Adrian Peterson as much as they want, but I just don't think it's going to equate to win, you know, against any team remaining on the team schedule right now. I think that they're going to have to eventually start to air it out and take some shots downfield. And you know, granted, we've seen a few shots here and there, but, you know, with a team this record right now, they should have been doing this 3-4 games ago. We should have been going downfield. And I understand, you know, Haskins has limitations, but where's these package of plays that we heard about? Because from what I'm watching, I'm not seeing anything really different from what Case Keenum's. I like play action. I've seen the play action, but that's standard. That's not a package of plays that is anything unique. So I'm having a lot of trouble taking Callahan at his word right now from what he's saying.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, from what everybody's saying about him, he's a stand-up individual. But I think when it comes to offensive play calling, he's way out of his league here. I think he believes he can call the run game, but anything resembling a pass game, I think he has no clue. That's just my opinion. And I think until we get Dwayne Haskins in there and just let him – you know, give him the opportunity to do what he does best. And like I've always said, talk to his college coaches. That's what good teams do. You know, you see with Andy Reid, you see good coaches. You know, with Wentz in Philadelphia, that's what they did with him in the beginning. You know, good teams adjust their system.
All the time.
And it just seems from what everybody's saying, this verbiage is just so long, and he's getting like he's being treated like he's dumb. Or you know, if you talk to anybody that's worked with him in film room, he's not dumb at all.
Yeah.
They're saying it's really like learning a new language. And if you're learning a new language and during practice, I understand that their backup's not going to get that many first team reps.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, or even weeks ago, it's not about just some first team reps here and there. It's about splitting reps.
Yeah.
And that should have been happening a long time ago. And if they're still not going to continue to do that, obviously right now with Keenum and protocol, this is the longest stretch that Haskins will have with the starters. So if somehow Keenum gets out of protocol, which it could happen, you know, it's going to be all for naught, because he's going to have all, you know, week with practice with the first team unit. But if he doesn't get to play this game, I just think this is what's going to be setting him back. Because you're a franchise quarterback, what I mentioned in the article, it's time to say, here it is, what can you do with it? And if he's going to fall flat on his face for the next 8 games, it's not time to move on. But in 2020, it's time to think, okay, well, we need to really think of a serious veteran other than
the below middle of the pack kind of quarterback like Keenum, and somewhere on the higher echelon with, you know, not top 10, but, you know, somebody outside the top 10 that's going to cost you, you know, $10 million a year. And that's not crazy for a league that's averaging 25 to 30 million for top tier quarterback. Mm. But the whole notion that they need to go and draft a whole nother quarterback. No. This team has so many needs right now. And by not trading Trent Williams today, they really blew a golden opportunity to get some extra picks and build, because I just don't see them having the ability to stockpile draft picks and surround this team with talent right now. Mm. So I think this is going to be an off season where they have a lot of cap money, and it showed with their, you know, they wanted to trade Josh Norman. So he's gone. Most likely Reed's gone. Richardson, I think, is gone. Trent Williams. You know, all that's going to equate to nearly 70 to 80 million in cap room. So I think this is going to be an off season where they're going to have to spend. They're going to have to go against the cheapskate Bruce Allen moves. And
wait a minute, they got to be old Daniel. Wait. They got to be old Daniel Snyder. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I think if they don't do that and they don't utilize their cap room, the next year is going to be just like this. Because the defense, we can keep building that. I'm with it. But, you know, a player like Chase Young, if somehow we can get him out of Ohio State, that's a game changer. But even more important, if you're in the top five position in this year's draft, you'll be able to trade out and get a lot of picks. So, you know, I'm a draft guy. You know, I'm already, unfortunately, with the record now, I'm actually going to go full in soon now and start, you know, posting articles about, you know, prospects to watch. But right now, I think their best case scenario is to get them on the field and figure where they're going to go from here. Because right now, I think, other than McLaurin, we have zero on offense.
Nothing. Agreed. So, and I want the kid from Bama. That's a whole different discussion. The wide receiver from Bama. That's a whole different discussion.
Judy.
That's what I want. For this team. That's what I want. That's like it. That's number one on my list. I think McLaurin
is
great.
He's unbelievable.
I think McLaurin is great. But if you have, I think McLaurin is great. But I think you can have that kid is a true number one. Like, there's no knock on McLaurin. McLaurin's the number one right now. He looks like he's going to ascend. He's going to be better. And he's a steal. But something about having a talent that you can't do nothing schematically to stop. That guy with that speed, that size, he's ready. Like, he's ready. Like, he's ready.
It's about putting McLaurin on one-on-one situation.
Exactly.
Because you're going to see from here on out, McLaurin is going to get, you know, a lot of coverage.
Exactly.
Exactly. So he's going to get a lot of double teams. Mm. You have a true, you know, I'm with you. I'm actually more leaning to it with, like I said, with the cap room I'm hoping they get a number one receiver in free agency.
Yeah.
But I don't know who we're talking about here, but I guarantee you after the draft teams like are going to get draft Judy. There's actually a couple others out there. I forgot. I don't have in front of me on my list, but there's a kid from Colorado that's amazing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be about three or four receivers that are going to really surprise some people. Yeah. And I think veterans are going to, you know, end up being cut because of that. So I think if we can somehow get a veteran receiver in
AJ Green,
you know, wide receiver one. Yep.
AJ Green's out there. He's going to be out there.
You know, I'm not as high on him as others just because of his, you know, his injury issues for the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not against him either. So, you know, next year, you know, that's what we're going to start. We're going to start with the number one receiver to complement McLaurin. And then, you know, go from there, build from the trenches, because that's what I say. That's the only way this team will have success.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, A.J. Green would be amazing. I don't think this team will get him. I understand where you're coming from with the injuries, right? That's like the knock on AJ. The injuries is the big thing with AJ Green. But if you're talking about on the field play in terms of route, I mean, you're a scout. You break guys down. On the field play, on route running, like getting
unbelievable.
Yeah. And, you know, arguably, I think with better quarterback play is – he's up there. I'll say this much. On the field – in terms of his product on the field and his skill set, it's just as good as Julio, AJ, AB, and all of them. Just as good.
For sure. You know, like you said, the route running, you know, the ability for 50-50 balls, mm-hmm. you know, the go route ability.
Yeah.
He's someone I would love to have. And I don't think that a lot of – I've heard people think that he's a bargain bait. They'll be able to get him at somewhere mid-range. I don't think so.
No.
You know, just because of – you know, there's been many receivers over history that have had, you know, a couple years with injury issues. But I think Cincinnati's starting to show everyone there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite as dysfunctional as Washington, but they're getting there. They just benched Dalton.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they're going to just start dumping a lot of these high salaries next year. I think the connections we've had to A.J. Green, over, you know, maybe it's just Jay Gruden, but his name has come up multiple
times. All the time.
The past couple of years. So
I think
that would best be, I would have him on my top free agents to watch next year, you know, once he most likely to get, you know, move on.
Yeah, I know this is going off topic, but there's a guy that I still like him. The Patriots are going to release him anyway, but I know his demons have it's a demons thing, obviously because he has to battle a lot. But talent wise, I mean, you know, Josh Gordon is one of the best, like, and he's still young. Josh Gordon is a phenomenal talent.
Him.
I'm sorry, he's a phenomenal talent, and if he can, and the only there's two things that go against him coming here. Again, it's the demons, and also that can contribute to the demons. He's going to be playing at home, which is not easy for anybody, you know, anybody, even if you don't have a checkered pack background, right? When you're coming home, it makes, you know, you got your boys coming at you, you got this, that, and the other. So he would be playing back in D.C. where he's from. So, but it's a guy that, again, he would be on a bargain, but he is a talented dude, you know what I mean? And and if he's right, you know, he can make suspect quarterbacks look good.
Right.
You know,
Agree.
So I mean, I'm with you though. If you can't get the guy out of college, you know, there's some receivers that they can have to pair McLaurin, because all this, I mean, as much as we like somebody like Harmon and all that, we still know in the NFL, you wouldn't need speed. You need to be able to make it easy for your quarterback, wherever your quarterback's going to be. If it's going to be Dwayne, if it's going to be whoever, hopefully it's Dwayne. But you want to make it easy, right? Mahomes, look what they're doing in Kansas City. They're putting. Those receivers are fast. It makes life easy when you got speed on the field, right?
Right, and you know that's why I've been I'm a huge fan of Eric Bieniemy. It's not just what he's been, you know, doing on the field there. I think their whole blueprint up in Kansas City, because that's a bad defense.
Yes, it's a
what
bad defense.
What they've been able to do with, you know, a lot of those receivers that, you know, maybe were off the radar, especially coming out of college. You know, none of those guys, including Tyreek Hill, was known as a top talent, you know, mainly, you know, due to their size. But I really like the idea of having speedsters like that in Washington. And I think that's why getting a coach next year is going to be so important, because with the dysfunction that's going on, the only way we're going to get some decent free agents, because everyone thinks, well, money will get anything with coaching and players. I don't buy that. I think Washington has established himself as a black hole kind of team to go to. And if you have an upcoming coach like Eric Bieniemy, or, you know, I've recently been following the offensive coordinator for for the Indianapolis Colts. Mm-hmm. I really like him. He was a hot commodity. You know, the Cleveland Browns tried to hire him last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, one of these innovative, you know, offensive-minded coaches, that's going to be the kind of individuals to get a decent, you know, blue-chip free agent. And as far as the defense goes, like we've probably talked about in the past, I really like Todd Bowles. I don't know if he'll leave the situation.
He would be a head really coach, like, I think. I think he wants to be a head coach.
Exactly. He wants to go up. He doesn't want to do a lateral move. But I think a defensive coordinator is another thing as almost important as a head coach for us. You know, 1B is getting a dominant defensive coordinator next year, again, to attract free agents. Because we have some young talent here, especially on defense, a nice little core. But they need someone to bring it together, because this guy, Minuski, everyone says, all the people in the second half, it's obvious because they've got talent. But what happens is when they start to get into third, fourth quarter, he's getting out schemed, and our players are winded, and they just don't know what to do when he takes them out of position.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get why he doesn't keep the foot to the gas and just continue and sending, you know, blisters and rushers at him when we're in a situation like with the Vikings. We're in a situation that we're getting some pressure on Kirk Cousins, and he just backed off. He
does it
every game.
And I'm with you.
You know, until we fix that issue, and of course, you know, the head coaching issues right now. Like, I've always been an optimistic Redskins fan, but this is really, you know, as a diehard fan since, you know, 1982, this is really taking a toll on my belief of what they can do, and just shifting more to what prospects can do for us as far as coming out of college. But I really, there's no direction for this team right now. I think trying to get some values for some of our players, maybe, like they said, Kerrigan. There was the Colts inquired about Kerrigan, Trent Williams.
Yeah, should Trent Kerrigan.
They needed to do something, and by not doing anything, he really, you know, Allen really did the wrong move today, and I think it's going to show in the offseason how much of a bad decision to switch Trent Williams. I think we're looking at a situation that's going to get worse and worse right now. It's not going to get better.
You're listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene right now. I have my homie Adam from the Burgundy and Gold Report. So, Adam, you quoted ESPN analyst and former Skins director of personnel, Lewis Riddick, in your article by saying it's the coach's job to get players prepared and ready.
Right.
Why? How come they're not doing that for Dwayne? Like, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, obviously, you would think it would be in Jay's best interest to keep a job here if he did that for Dwayne. And even now with Callahan, why isn't that the first thing that's the first move that he should make in terms of, you know, getting his whole focus should be getting Dwayne ready, truly getting Dwayne ready.
Yeah, it's really a conundrum. I don't understand it because the way that Callahan seems to have this dedication to Keenum is almost how Jay Gruden had it with Colt McCoy. It's like they're satisfied with mediocrity, or in their case, you know, below that, rather than putting him out in the field and seeing what he can do. Because, again, I know he's going to make mistakes. Everyone says that. Rookies do it. Daniel Jones right now, everyone's so hot on him. He's leading the NFL with 13 turnovers at this point. There's seven interceptions and like eight fumbles or whatever, how many fumbles. The only way these quarterbacks learn, it's the hardest position to play in the NFL. And as a scout, it's one of the hardest positions to evaluate. Everyone thinks they know everything. And I don't. That's one thing. I was with Riddick at Scouting Academy last spring. And one thing that I learned from them is you have to take the good with the bad. And with Haskins' case, You have to let him air it out here and there. And granted, he missed that pass to McLaurin. That was huge, that overthrow when just bounced off his hands. I guarantee you, you give him that throw 10 times, he's going to hit that 7 out of 10 times. And the thing is, if you're not giving him those opportunities to rectify those kind of mistakes, and then he sits out for another week, 2 weeks, three, to whatever it is until Keenum gets injured, he's not going to learn. It's consistent play, and it starts. And until he gets consistent starts, and they start to, it's not dumb down the playbook. That's what the misconception is. It's customize the playbook. Like you said, there's a package of plays. Well, let's see these package of plays. If that package of plays means you're going to roll them out of the pocket, you're going to keep them in shotgun, I'm all for it. But with the exception of keeping them in shotgun, we're having an offensive lineman blow an assignment. And right now the game is going so fast for him, he's going to take those sacks. He's going to throw those interceptions.
Yeah.
But that's the way good quarterbacks learn. If teams did the same thing, fans did the same thing working with Haskins as they did with Peyton Manning his first year, Peyton Manning would have never been anything.
Agreed.
And he would have been out of the league. Peyton Manning is the poster boy for someone that he learned from his mistakes. Not saying that Haskins will be anything close to what he does, but my opinion is this whole connection to what's his name, Russell, the one that used to play in Oakland. How the similarity?
Oh, is that? Is he been compared to DeMarcus Russell?
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see it.
Who compared him to DeMarcus Russell? They're totally different.
I've seen, man, so many people. I don't know if it's just a black quarterback.
I think it is. It has to be.
Listen, man, I really try to stay away from the white person in football, but quarterback. It's undeniable it what fans do. The
they
first
do.
Thing they're doing is finding the first black quarterback that they can do to compare him. You can't do that.
Like,
you know, you got to look at more like a Ben Roethlisberger his rookie year. Like, what did they do? Yes, they focused on the run game. That will help him. But also, he took his shots. He showed his arm. And I just didn't see that trust in Dwayne Haskins. I saw a lot of hesitancy with Callahan and his play calling. And that's what I'm saying. I don't see Kevin O'Connell's stamp on this offense, and until he lets those two truly work together, you know, this thing might not work. So they have to get it going. If not this week against Buffalo, they have to get it after the bye against the Jets, because right now they're playing for nothing. They're playing for cohesion. They're playing to get an identity. And Adrian Peterson's not going to be here next year. Chris Thompson's not going to be here next year. A lot of these players aren't going to be here. Dwayne Haskins will.
Yeah.
So, as you know, I don't like the ownership getting involved, but this is a situation where I feel that somebody needs to speak up and get involved in this and say, listen, you need to get this kid ready. you know, hell or high water, let's get him in and get going. Because if they don't start to customize a game plan for him and the team, man, it's just going to be, they're going to hurt this kid. You know, I just don't know what else they can do besides you give him the reins right now and say, you know, you're our franchise quarterback. Because the flip-flopping, what they're doing, you talk about hurting, you know, a mentality of a young signal caller. And that's the way to do it, showing zero commitment to a first round. It's just unprecedented. I've never seen this before as a fan.
Do you think the negativity is weighing on the young man from the fans from the media?
Sure. Okay. You know, that's why Adrian Peterson's starting to stay off social media. And that would be my recommendation for him if I was his agent and his father, is just stay off of social media, play out the rest of the season, and, you know, just get your head on straight. But because I've seen, they talk about no dedication. His body looks 100% different from what it did this time last year at Ohio State.
Of course, yeah.
So he's dedicating himself to the weight room. He's dedicating himself, but is he dedicating himself to the playbook and to film watching? From what I hear, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it's really sad because it seems like the media already has an agenda against us. It's twofold, against Snyder and it's against the Redskins' name.
Local or national? Local or national? Yeah. Local or national?
I think national mostly, but mm-hmm. Washington Post, I stopped reading it because, you know, it started with Jason Lockenfora when he was here, but I just think they're just such an easy target for them, and it's great clicks for them. So the positive is not outweighed by the negative when it comes to clicks. It's crazy to think that more people are going to read the negative portion of it
mm-hmm.
because Washington Post, although it is local, it is a nationally syndicated paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that their audience is more based on that than the true Redskins fan. So I think no matter what they do, aside from winning two playoff games or winning the Super Bowl, they will always get bashed. So mm-hmm. I think the only way to, you know, try to change this trend is to just, like I said, just give him the reins and, you know, let him fall on his butt, let him make a mistake, let him take his lump. Because if they don't do that, we won't get a sense of what he can really do in the NFL. Because if we go into next season and he's had spot duty, maybe a game here, a game there, the next coach, you're going to have a lot of problems. Because the next coach needs to, like I mentioned in the article, they need to have 7 to 8 games of film to truly evaluate how they can work with Dwayne Haskins. And a lot of people think that no matter what, we can pay a lot of money and get whoever we want. No. The way it's going to work is these offensive coordinators, they know that they're hot commodities. If they're, you know, Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
he'll stay in Kansas City. If he doesn't have a really good shot, he'll stay there. So, but if you have an opening for a team and you have a guy like Dwayne Haskins and he really shows something, he shows a crazy powerful, you know, strong arm, they'll say, you know what, maybe I'll come here and maybe we can get someone. Maybe we'll find that Tyreek Hill to match up with McLaurin in the offseason. I can see some things here because, you know, there's some egos involved too. But if there's no tape on your quarterback, this whole business of Alex Smith possibly coming up, this is when it's just getting fantasy with this team. You know, you have to look what we have and see what tape we have. And without him on the field, there is no tape to see what Dwayne Haskins can do.
I totally agree. So we talked a little bit about the trade down. Let's talk about a little bit more. Ryan Kerrigan, we all know Trent Williams is, you know, if Trent Williams has come back. Well, let's go to Trent. Trent has ended his holdout because, you know, he didn't get traded. So now he has to come back so he can get his money. But he probably won't play. What kind of issue would Trent Williams be in the locker room?
See, that's the thing. I think that then I have a strong feeling that the it's really bad blood right now. You know, he's been silent this whole time, which is, again, another situation like a quarterback. It's unprecedented because we've seen holdouts go in the media. You know, they're, even if it was just their agents speaking out, you know, they're looking to be paid what they're worth. It's been total radio silence. We've had, you know, players like D'Angelo Hall, you know, AP that have given us little information here and there. But I think what this team is going to be prepared to do is they're going to try to do what they did with Galloway, you know, back, you know, a few years ago. And they're going to try to put him on an exemplar. And what that's going to do is they can hold him out for up to 3 weeks. And what that'll do, that'll cost him his season and it'll troll it. So instead of 2020 being his last year, 2021. But the thing is, the last time this was done, this went to grievance and the team lost. So I think in the end, they're going to do everything they can to keep him out of that locker room and to keep him off the field. I don't see a situation where he's going to be embraced coming in because I think Allen has taken it personal, just like he takes everything personal. And they're just, if they allow Trent Williams to get in this locker room, I think that they truly believe that it'll get worse. Instead of trying to work with the man and trying to figure out what can they do, I think they're going to try to keep him off the field at all costs. And I think it's going to get worse from here. I hate to say it. They had an opportunity today, you know, from what I'm hearing from a lot of people, that they could have got a second and maybe a mid round, but they stayed pat at only getting the first round, which I can't say I blame them.
Yeah,
That would have been the move weeks ago.
Yeah.
To wait till the last 48 hours and say we're going to trade it. They had no leverage in the situation.
Yeah.
And they talked about, there was only one suitor. It was the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Two morons and Dorsey and Allen working, trying to talk together. I can only imagine what some of those conversations
were. The conversation was like.
I really can't. If I was a fly on the wall, I swear I probably would have gone down, 100 IQ points.
Just
from trying to, with Allen and his Bud Light sitting there trying to, trying to fleece somebody, you know what I mean? But I think this is just, it was a situation that went from bad to worse. And I don't think, it is my opinion, I don't think we're going to see Trent Williams back on the field this year or ever again.
So I had a discussion with somebody else about Ryan Kerrigan. Will was just, we were just talking about Ryan Kerrigan and how, he's a good player. I think we all need to establish he is a good player. But at the same time, when you're paying a pass rusher that amount of money, you expect this individual to be consistent, have games where, that he balls out. I mean, consistently,
right.
And not have games right. where you don't hear his jersey or see his jersey or his name being called. Why do you think, because there were teams that were interested in Ryan Kerrigan, why do you think that this team wasn't willing to listen?
I think, again, it comes back to, Allen's, stupidity. Kerrigan is viewed right now, in my opinion, as the face of the Redskins. Without Dwayne Haskins being given the reins, he's not the face. So who is? Trent Williams was. He's not, we know that situation. I think right now he is their poster boy. And what's so ignorant about the whole situation is he's turning 32 years old this offseason, and this is going to be his final year of his contract. Unless they're willing to pony up anywhere between $12 to $15 million for him, he's going to walk. So this would have been an opportunity. There was rumors that the Colts were offering a second round.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They should have traded him because, like I said, this would have been an opportunity to have Montez Sweat and Ryan Anderson man it for now. It's a lost season. With Ryan Kerrigan, okay, he's probably – I think it's all about that record. I think that they're
the Redskins,
as ridiculous as this whole situation is, Allen is sitting there telling Snyder, you'll see, we don't want to get rid of him because, we're going to get fans excited. He's going to have the sack record and I just think it's just tunnel vision with him. So instead of getting value and looking to the draft, he's not a draft guy. He's his whole career, he's been a cap guy. That's what he was when he was with Oakland. That's when he was with Tampa Bay. It's always been about caps and deals, really. But when it comes to prospect evaluation, if that was true, again, I said this to you a long time ago when we spoke before the draft. I'm not against Dwayne Haskins, but at number 15, they had a lot of other options, and it's well established the scouting department wasn't on board with going quarterback on day one. And I think by overlooking and basically going against what they said, it just shows his cockiness and his belligerence that he thinks that he knows better. Without a player like Kerrigan, I think he does not know what to hang his hat on. So I think really what that came down to as he's a fan favorite and he just wants to keep that going. Even though this would have been the most value we probably would see for Ryan Kerrigan because, like you said, he doesn't impact games. He can fill the stat sheets, which is great, but he's not a game changer. Half the time you're just seeing he's being held. And he's not getting those calls because when you're a pass rusher, if you're just getting stood up and you're getting help and you're not using your hands, you're not doing any real counter moves, you're never going to get that call. This is what he is. He's a hand in the down. He's a hand in the ground defensive end that we converted to an outside linebacker.
True. Very true.
I think if he goes to another team with as a three down defensive end, I think he'll have a lot of success as well.
Because
he keeps his center of gravity low, and I think he can still be a good player. But the way that we use him, number one, I don't think is the right way, especially dropping him in coverage is one of the worst things you can do with a player like Ryan Kerrigan. And number two, you're not giving him any help. You know, the way to help a situation when your passers are getting held is you just move him around. You have to be more creative. And like I said, Minucci just doesn't have that creativity. So, again, just like Trent Williams, they blew a golden opportunity to get some value for him. So, I don't know. It's kind of depressing right now.
It's tough being a Redskins fan, man. It is tough being a Skins fan. It's tough to try to cover this team. It's tough all the way around, to be honest with you. But you got to look at the bright spot. That's why you kind of want to see. I mean, I know we go back to Dwayne. You want to see Dwayne because you got to see something. Because what you're seeing on the field isn't worth it. And all this other stuff about, like you said earlier. This stuff about, like, oh, we don't want to ruin the kid. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. Like, some of the reasoning why they don't want to put Dwayne out there. Well, it's about that time. And, you know, you see guys like, for instance, Daniel Jones. He's had a couple good games, but he's had some clunkers. Right? Prior quarterbacks like Peyton Manning. I remember that season. Like, Peyton Manning started off so slow. Like, he threw nothing but interceptions. Like, nothing. Matter of fact, I think Ryan Leaf started off a little better than Peyton at that time.
He did.
You know what I mean?
He did.
And then Peyton just, like, towards the middle of the season, he started, you know, playing better football, carrying that over to the following year, and he was Peyton Manning. And from that point on, he was an all-time great. Jared Goff, I know I don't want to I'm not calling Jared Goff all world, but people thought Jared Goff was the dumbest quarterback ever because they watched Hard Knocks and then they saw him play and they thought he was a dumb quarterback. They thought he was a bad quarterback. Like, I even remember listening to Chris Cooley on a local radio station say that they thought that Mannion was a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Like, he was that bad. And then now look, now Jared Goff got the bag. And he's a Pro Bowler, went to the Super Bowl. So all the talk about, you know, this quarterback, the team's quarterback, our quarterback, and Dwayne Haskins being a bust and being a bum. Like, people got to chill. Like you said, 30 passes, and we talking about he's a bust?
Zero starts. But the thing is, all of those numbers, zero starts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a bust? Like, we're doing this? Like, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, you know, he's become the scapegoat right now. Next to Allen, he's become the scapegoat. And like I said, quarterback is the hardest position to value. And any scout that you'll talk to, you see the hit rate is something below 36% for scouts. So even the best in the industry will miss. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said about Haskins, he'll need time. But nobody was saying that he's a day three pick.
Yeah.
Everybody was saying, including me, late first round, second round.
Yeah.
That just means this is a player that has all the talent. Mm-hmm. He just needs time to get it together. But when you're in a situation where you don't have competent quarterback play in front of you, what is he learning? That's what I mentioned in my article, Washington's Dilemma. There's nothing to learn. You can't sit there on the bench and see what's going on the field and say, okay, I'm going to learn from that. Or, okay, when this rush comes on the A gap or the B gap, I'm going to go here. The only way that you're going to get that is by being on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue to sit him, he's not going to learn anything. Granted, like you said, he'll learn in the film room, he'll learn the playbook. But film room and all that, that's more about the other team's tendencies. That's more about what you're trying to run. But like we keep saying, he's going to be in a whole other system next year. No matter what, I really don't believe that Callahan is going to be here, and I'd be surprised if Kevin O'Connell is here. I think that Snyder is just too enamored with the big name, and he's either going to try to get a big name from college, a retread like a McCarthy, former Green Bay coach. He's going to get somebody with name recognition. So I really think that it's going to be irrelevant what Dwayne Haskins get out of the offense. What's more importantly is what he's going to get out of the speed of the game and getting on the field. That's the only way that Dwayne Haskins is going to be able to excel and put some real film for the next coach to come to Washington. So it's just a situation that's the only thing that's going to keep me watching. I'm being honest with you right now. You know, I have the NFL pass, so I can always watch that condensed game in 35 minutes, not waste my Sunday at 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
But if Dwayne Haskins is in, I'm going to watch that.
Of course.
But otherwise, fans aren't going to watch and nobody's going to care. So, you know, this is something I understand. Callahan, that's not what his concern, but that's what upper management needs to be concerned with. And if Callahan is not ready to do that, then he shouldn't be the interim coach. It would be unprecedented for an interim head coach to be relieved of his duty. But We saw a guy when Zorn was here pulled off, you know, retirement to come and take plays away from Zorn and call plays from the booth. So anything could happen here, man.
So true. Hey, Adam, man, thanks for being on. Before I let you go, Adam, let our listeners know how they can check out the blog and catch you on social media.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you. You can find my all my articles and my film room sessions on my homepage at burgundyandgoldreport.wordpress.com. And as always, you can follow me on Twitter at the BNG Report. Thanks again for having me, man. HTTR.
My man, Adam. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. That's my man, Adam, from the Burgundy and Gold Report. Make sure you check out the blog. Again, it was a good read, man. It's all about Dwayne Haskins, man. I'm with Adam, man. I want Dwayne to play. Dwayne need to play. That's Dwayne. That's my dude. That's my quarterback, man. Quote Terrell Owens. That's my quarterback. We want Dwayne. We want Dwayne out there, man. We want Dwayne out there. And his rhetoric that Dwayne ain't smart enough to play quarterback right now, or some, you know, or he can't read defenses. We need to stop that, man. We know what that means. We know what time it is too. All right. I want all the smoke. You know, we know what time it is. We need to stop that crap. All right. Like Adam mentioned, Peyton Manning had issues too, and no one said that type of crap. All right, I mentioned Jared Goff. Issues, you know what I mean? He had issues, and look at him now. I will say this about Jared Goff. They were going in on Jared Goff when he was struggling with the Rams. They were going in, but he panned out, and look at him. Went to the bowl, pro bowler, got the bag. Isn't it all about getting the bag? So yeah, y'all need to chill out on my man. On my man, Dwayne Haskins. But, man, I appreciate you all for tuning in, subscribing to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports thing on Fox Sports Radio. You know what I mean? We appreciate that, man. I love the love, man. I love the love, and I love you all for loving us, man. I really do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast, all right, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Just search All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports thing and continue to tweet us at Urban Sports thing. And hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Now, Will T isn't here. Ray isn't here. They would kind of give me some type of cue. And they aren't here to give me the cue. But I'll just do it myself. You've been listening to All Skins Everything with the Urban Sports Scene on Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. Hopewell, Virginia, for ages. You dig? Deuces. Hey, Mega. You know what to do, bruh. Lead us out, big homie.